tell a little story. I was traveling one time from Delhi to Hyderabad, and the flights, those of you that travel in India, you know, they all leave at the same time. Whether it's Bombay or Hyderabad or Calcutta or Chennai or wherever it goes, they all leave at the same time. So the airport is at a certain time in the morning, it's jammed. And the lines to check in luggage were like a half an hour wait. And then the lines to go through security was at least that long, longer. And there were a number of lines. You know, it's India. So I was standing in line after checking in my luggage, and there was a young man, not too young, but you know, in his mid or late 20s, standing in front of me, forward from where I was in the previous line. And he kept looking back like I had holes in my head or something. Or I had 10 heads or you know, something. Something strange. And but he just kept moving and kept moving and he kept staring. I was just chanting. So finally went through security and went to find the spot. Everything was jammed. So, but he had saved the spot for me. So motioned and I sat down. And said, I visited the Juhu temple. And so I know how you're dressed. You're part of this town, yes? He said, I'm in big anxiety. Okay. What else is new? What's your anxiety? He said, I really am attracted to making progress in spiritual life. But I've been told that I can't do that unless I become a sannyasi. And I see that you're a sannyasi. So what should I do? I'm in big anxiety. I said, where did you hear this? That you cannot progress in spiritual life unless you take sannyas. He said, I sometimes go to Sringeri Math. And in Sringeri Math, the followers of Shankaracharya teach. Then he, like, elaborated. Unless you take sannyas, you cannot make any spiritual progress. Just like, you know, hang it up, just forget it. And if you take sannyas, then you can begin to make some spiritual progress. Because the goal, spiritual progress goal, is to become one with Brahman. Of course, if you're already Brahman, then how do you become one with Brahman? You're already Brahman. That's another thing. So then I explained, as you've seen at the temple, you've been to the temple in Juhu, it's not that only those who are householders are nicely practicing Krishna consciousness. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted sannyas, but before that he was a householder, and he was a superlative Vaishnava. And what about Vyasadeva? He was a householder and superlative Vaishnava. And Bhishma Dev, although he didn't get married, he was living in the royal family, he was a superlative. And the Pandavas, and so on and so on. So it's not, it doesn't, it doesn't work that way. And he just, you know, he was so fixed. He said, well, I'm married and I have a son, and I don't want to leave my wife, and I don't want to leave my son, but I want to make spiritual progress. And I'm thinking, so then I explained to him two verses from Rupa Goswami's teachings, from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which Prabhupada has given a summary study in Nectar Devotion. And those of you that study Bhakti Shastri, hopefully some of you are doing that, and hopefully that's a systematic way of studying Prabhupada's devotional texts, you'll come across these two verses. It's, of course, here they are in Sanskrit. The principle, I explained to him, the principle of renunciation is not rejecting things. Because you can reject things, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, and the mind still dwells on those things. So what is the use of that? It's pretense, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. Hari sambandho vastuna mamukshubi prityago vairagyam phalgu katyate in Sanskrit. Hari sambandha vastuna. Vastu means stuff, objects, things. Hari sambandha means in relationship with Hari. So stuff that has relationship with Hari, mumukshubi prityago, and with the intention of becoming liberated, you give them up. I want to make spiritual advance, but I have to give up my wife, my child, my worldly existence, and renounce everything worldly. Mumukshubi prityago vairagyam phalgu katyate. Katyate, it is said that such vairagya is phalgu, false or misunderstood, incomplete, let's be nice, incomplete renunciation. And then Rupa Goswami described what complete renunciation is, and it's related to what we're doing here. The first line is, well, all the lines are very important, but the first line is very important. Anasaktasya vishayan. In the stages of devotion, there's nine. In the stage just before the bhava stage, which is just before the prema stage, which is the tamo stage, it's asakti, where one is attached to Krishna. First it starts being attached to the process of serving Krishna, then attached to the object of the process. Like we're doing a yajna, so there's something to do, you know, some appreciation with the mantras and the procedures and the rituals. But ultimately, the higher stage is attachment to not just the process, but to the object, who the process is being offered unto. Or like deity worship. When devotees are asking about deity worship, there's a certain, with anything that's new, there's a certain, whatever it is, interest is perked by learning something new, like learning harmonium, or learning to cook, or learning to cook a new way or something, so that something new has its attractiveness for the mind. And then after you know, then you want something new, and something new, and something new. And so the essence may never be reached. It's just something new. So the essence, this asakti, is to be attached to the object of devotion. I'll just share something in relation to that also. We'll get back to them. Just before coming to St. Louis, I was on a reading retreat. It was very nice. I was in a very quiet place, and from where I was staying, there's a lake right behind, and then behind the lake, there's magnificent trees, in all directions, and then behind the trees were big mountains. He actually compared to big mountains. They weren't so big, but they were big mountains. And then there was all these different weather changes. When I got there, it was sunny. It was really nice. The sun shining on the peaks of the mountains, and then the shade down below, and you know, all these very interesting wildlife, birds, different types flying around, and it's just like really nuts. And then there was another change, and then another change, weather-wise. It started to, the clouds started to come in. You couldn't see the tops of the mountains anymore. It was just like clouds stuck on the, hung on the tops of the mountains. That was another nice, they couldn't move, they were stuck on the top of the mountain. And then it kind of settled, and you could barely see the outline of the mountains because they were some miles away. And then you couldn't see the mountains at all, and then it was, you know, a light rain. Anyway, and I was thinking, and then when the light rain came, the birds, they didn't go to bird school, they just somehow knew this is the time to go fishing. There were some ducks that would swim, and all of a sudden they'd disappear. They thought they were fish. They went deep. They went deep, and then, you know, they would surface way over there and stick their head up. And it was just like this wonderful display of nature and the, so many different moods of nature. And I was thinking, because I'd been to this place once before, when you get off, you know, in the mountains, there's this sense of, like, vastness of time. You know, not exactly eternity because you know it comes and it goes, but like a sense of timelessness, kind of, and the power of nature. And what's behind all that? You know, get fascinated with the mind. The mind becomes attached, and the mind becomes like a child. You know. Attached, something you didn't have before, and all of a sudden you can't let go of it, you just got to hold on to it. And the mind is like that, and then something else, and we become attached to that something else. And then attached to that something else, like moving into a new house, you didn't live in a house, and then you didn't live in a house. Then you go to another place. And, you know, then you leave your body, and you go to another body. And just the ever-changingness of the temporary, we may become attached to. We may even become attached to, like I was just describing, this beautiful scene in nature. But, you know, the sunshine in the mountains changes. And then it's another beauty. Then it's the clouds hanging on the peaks of the mountains. And then it's another beauty. And then it's another beauty. And it's another. But it's ever-changing. So what's behind the ever-changing? So the process of spiritual life is to connect with that unchanging behind the ever-changing. That's the impersonal Brahman wish of those who say you have to give up everything. But then, how do you give up everything? It's artificial if your mind still dwells on those things. It's incomplete. So then comes what Rupa Goswami describes as true renunciation. It's where anasaktasya, without attachment, asakti means attachment, and anasakti means without attachment. Without attachment. That's a big one. Without attachment to what? Vishaya, sense gratification. Like Krishna speaks in Bhagavad Gita, Vishaya Vinivartante Niraharshadeninam. Those who are, it's very difficult, he says in Bhagavad Gita, it's very difficult to give up sense gratification, Vishaya. For those who are embodied, niraharsha dehi nam. But he gives the solution. Rasavarjam raso pyasya pram drishtva navartate. Just like that little cookbook, the higher taste comes from that verse, the higher taste. It's not like, you know, being vegetarian as opposed to non-vegetarian. It's for devotees and for people in the mode of goodness. You know, eating something else is not the question. But for a devotee, it's, unless there's Krishna prasadam, so there's no interest. Unless there's Krishna for those who are attached to Krishna, then there's detachment from sense gratification. Even when you take prasadam, or even when you do a yagya, or even when you move into a house, or even when you do whatever you do. Anasaktasya vishayan, without attachment to sense enjoyment, then comes like the delicate part, very subtle, the slippery slope. Yatarham upanyunjitaha, which means according to suitability. So before you lived in an apartment, now you live in a house. It's a big house, not a small house. And so what size house do you need? And if you have a house of whatever the size, an apartment of whatever the size, according to suitability, you utilize things. You know, like, let's, you know, we live in a world of consumer economics. How many pair of shoes do you have? And how many pair of shoes do you need? I don't need to elaborate. Etc. The stewardess on the plane coming here, she had, you know, those stacked heels. I've never seen it before in an airplane. You know, a stewardess with stacked heels. This must be really uncomfortable. And for what purpose? It's fashion. Who knows how many other pairs of shoes she has at home based on other years when something else was fashion, but now it's fashion. You get the idea. So, according to suitability, so I'm a householder. Excuse me, I'm a sannyasi, so I don't, not a householder, so I don't have a house. It would be quite unsuitable if I had a house. You'd wonder, what's going on, Maharaj? So it's not suitable. And then those of you who are householders, it's suitable. Now, what house? And what are the factors that you consider when you buy a house? And then, you know, so moving into the house, once the decision's made, then let it be dedicated to Krishna. Or, you know, anything. How much do I eat? Or, you know, you name it. According to suitability. So each of us, this is like a little mini summary of some part of the retreat that we had in Gitanagri over Memorial Day weekend. Appropriate for each of us is to recognize two things, well, three things, where we are, where we want to be, and steps to get to where we want to be. And it's not sensible that you pretend that you're not where you are. Like, inflated conception spiritually or otherwise of where you are, and have a clear and ever increasingly clear picture of where we want to be, because when we're here, our sense of where we want to be may not be so accurate. It's like the mountains, where you can see that they're there, but they're still covered by, you know, fog and smoke or clouds and stuff. They're there. I don't have a really clear sense of there's still a mountain. So same, the sense of goal should become, as you progress, more clear and more clear and more clear. And enthusiasm to reach the goal, enthusiasm to apply that which will help you reach the goal, greater enthusiasm. Enthusiasm is necessary even from the very beginning. Utsama. Oh, according to my position, this is yatarham, and still describing that word, according to suitability. What is suitable for one person may not be suitable for another person, may not be suitable for another person. So we shouldn't judge another person, oh, something, why are you doing this? Or why are you accepting that? Or something. Because whatever the reason is, I don't need it. I don't really need it. Or whatever it is, whatever the rationale. Each of us has to be responsible for recognizing what our position is. And according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, there are vidhis, there's rules and regulations according to our that particular position. Our social duties and so many things according to our position. And we should do those things. And we should be clear what the next step is and be ready and even a little enthusiastic to go to the next step, but not prematurely. It's very nicely described by Bhaktivinoda. Very, very nicely. So without the detail, this is, I'm now describing a principle. According to suitability, you accept things without attachment. Anasaktasya vishayan yatarham upanyunjitaha. Nirbandha Krishna sambandhe. Previously it was Hari sambandha, now it's Krishna sambandha, but it's the same. Nirbandha Krishna sambandhe yuktam vairagya uchate. Recognizing that all things come from Krishna, therefore they have a relationship with Krishna, therefore utilizing them should be for Krishna. Yukta vairagya. Again, there's the word vairagya again. As with the previous words, vairagya, pauga vairagya or yukta vairagya. There's choices for those who wish to advance spiritually. For those who don't wish to advance spiritually, it's rampa room. It's anything goes at any time. If it feels good, do it. But for those that are wishing for progressive life, as Krishna says to Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, first chapter, those who are Aryans, they know the progressive value of life. So we should act, all of us should act, according to principles that will lead to the goal and the progressive values to reach the ultimate goal. A little difficult to get there if you don't know what the goal is, if you don't know what a mountain is. Reach the mountain, but with to speak of the details of the steps. But if the goal is clear, that the ultimate purpose of life is, you have a different idea. Fill in the blank. The ultimate purpose of life, the ultimate goal of life, ignition while receiving this human form of life is, and so we can say, to attachment to Krishna or loving devotion to Krishna. But we can't get there unless there's detachment from the bodily conception of life, or you could say immersion in the spiritual conception of life, even though I'm not fully realized yet. Acceptance in principle and therefore taking steps to get there. Now, how does that connect with what we're doing today? This is a ceremony for, according to Vaishnava standards and rituals with mantras and procedures to acknowledge at the beginning of the occupancy of the house. The family says, let us sanctify the house. And the sanctification of the house starts with sanctification of the consciousness of the residents in the house. That is, this is a facility that's being provided by Krishna that's meant for service to Krishna. And that you use it in that way and not otherwise. Anasaktasya vishayam. And that's a beginning. And then the beginning is just a beginning. then it's further cultivation, further of that consciousness. Because, let's face it, it's really easy to become conditioned, become complacent, start something with a good intention, you get distracted, and then the next thing you know, we're in material consciousness again, and maybe even doing things that we shouldn't be doing because, you know, we got distracted. So, beginning is good, and then the next step is also, it's important to cultivate nicely Krishna consciousness each step. So for success in that cultivation, just, you know, moving towards the quality of goodness is very important. This is another point that I wanted to share. Regulation, just think of some items that are in the quality of goodness as opposed to passion and ignorance. Quality of goodness is regulation in what you do. You do things that are elevating, and you do them regularly. Trying to do like that promotes goodness. It invites the quality of goodness in your life, and you say in the house where you live. Cleanliness, very important in spiritual life, and certainly very important in cultivating the quality of goodness. And people that are accustomed to that, it's inviting transcendental thoughts. The opposite is also, if there's lack of cleanliness, it's cluttered and not clean and so forth and so on, it's not inviting to spiritual thought. The nature of contact with matter, the soul being in contact with matter, why are we here? We want to enjoy. Mode of passion. So it's like, that's a big one. A big push that's pushing the souls that are in this material world. So that it has to be some brake pedal or some antidote, some way of bringing consciousness beyond passion and beyond ignorance is minimally mode of goodness. But the important thing, according to the Srimad Bhagavatam, most effective means to get there and to stay there is by the process of hearing. To utilize your home, regularly hear the message of Krishna. So that then consciousness is affected, and then you'll see the object as not an object of sense gratification, but something that is also meant to be utilized in Krishna's service. It starts with consciousness, and according to the Bhagavatam, Tado rajas tamo bhava kama lobha dahyasti cheta etayar nadvidham sattvam stitve sattve stitvam prasidati. The lower modes of nature become eliminated or reduced by the process of hearing the message of Srimad Bhagavatam, and gradually sattve stitvam prasidati. The mode of goodness becomes established, and one feels happiness in that. But the happiness in that is not the mode of goodness happiness if the means is the message of Srimad Bhagavatam or transcendental sound. So in homes, to utilize the facility in such a way that it doesn't entangle one, but it elevates one, is regularly hearing. Regularly. So in your family situations, make sure that that's there. Arti in your home, and kirtan in your home, and hearing together from the scripture in your home, and do it as a family, as far as circumstance permits. It's very nice. And regularly. And by that, according to the Bhagavatam, and practical experience also, the motive passion tendency, the I want to be the enjoyer of this, you know, whether it's the place, or the persons that I'm with, or whatever it is, that tendency changes to a tendency of together let's go to walk the path of purification. And that's where real happiness is. It's another kind of happiness. And that purpose of that purification is attachment to the Supreme, a loving relationship with the Supreme. Let us walk that path together. The tendency for family, and for with family then the need for home, the tendency for family, again just appreciating where I was, you know, there's the mother duck and the little ducklings. And, you know, they know what to do. They didn't go to duckling school, they just follow mother duck. And she is looking after her ducklings. And so forth and so on. You know, that all the there's a big moose and there's a little baby moose. And the baby moose just follows along. I was watching one of them. They're so small it could hardly wobble. When we were at the Japa retreat in Seattle, little baby deer, like really baby. And the mother was just like walking along, little baby deer was following along the mother. She'd look around, baby deer is following. She went way over there. The baby deer just followed her. It's like it happens in all species of life, the insects and the birds and the everything. So it's not a new program. How do we practice spiritual life like this young man is asking me in the airport? Well, one idea is just give it up. But another idea is you're very conscientiously utilizing it in Krishna's service. So I'll end with this. He went back and said, you know, I've seen how the people in Juhu and, you know, in ISKCON, you practice Krishna consciously, and I can see that they're making advancement, but he still had this, you know, this doubt. It's like, because he had heard. Anyway, apparently he hadn't read Prabhupada's books. So just as we were sitting there, just the two of us, the place was packed. Here comes a devotee couple that I know from Hyderabad. And they just happened to be on the same flight that I was on going to Hyderabad. So, you know, they had their tilak. He was on a business thing, but he was somehow, he had come with his wife and his son. And, you know, big smile and their bead bag, and they paid their obeisances right in the airport. And said, I think you need to speak with this couple. They'll help you understand how you can practice Krishna consciousness. How you can become spiritually advanced. You don't have to give up your wife and child and your worldly existence, but you have to learn how to dedicate it without attachment to Krishna's service. And similarly, each one of us, not only, you know, the practice of our own Krishna consciousness so we can make spiritual progress, but by example, show others, here's how you do it. Because there's a lot of people out there that don't have a clue. Not a clue. And they're running around doing you know what, looking for happiness through sense gratification. Not a clue. And some people want a clue. Some people don't want anything other than just that. But those people that want something, then in addition to becoming spiritually elevated, starting with the hearing process and recognizing everything, the proprietorship is, Krishna is the proprietor. I'm the resident in Krishna's kingdom. And the prayers that we said yesterday and today, the first verse, Chintamani Parapada Sadma Sukalpa Briksha. In the spiritual world, the building material isn't, you know, sheetrock and wood and, you know, metal beams. It's Chintamani. That's their building material. And Chintamani means conscious. It's and one who comes in touch with it also becomes conscious, just like the dust of Vrindavan is also Chintamani. It's described that when Krishna is playing upon his flute, the river Jamuna stops, stunned, and is waiting for some dust from Krishna's feet to come land on the river Jamuna and feel ecstasy and contact with the dust of Krishna's feet. It's wish fulfilling. The trees are wish fulfilling, and the cows are wish fulfilling, and the dust is wish fulfilling. But what's the wish? Simply serving Krishna. There's very amazing verses describing the how the Chintamani jewels are used. They're jewels. One of the examples that's used is in order to the big ones they place by their door like a door jamb so that they can leave the door open when Krishna is coming home. They can see Krishna coming from the forest of the cows. And the ladies sometimes wear Chintamani gems for anklets, and sometimes they wear them in their shoes at the top. Where there's a little thong, you know, between the toes, which comes up to the top, they put a Chintamani gem. Because they have no interest in sense gratification. It's just service to Krishna. That's all. They don't go crazy. Oh, there's an opportunity to get whatever I wish. Here there's an opportunity. The nature of the kingdom of Maya is here is an opportunity to get the nature of what you wish independently of Krishna. So we should enter into that territory cautiously and thoughtfully, and fixing our consciousness upon the purpose of this activity, as opposed to, you know, build your nest with your bird, or like where I stay in Gita Nagari, we go to retreats, so I'm staying in this place. Right outside there's a groundhog home. There's a mama groundhog and a papa groundhog and a couple little baby groundhogs. It's like far out watching them. They stand up on their hind legs and look around to see if anything's coming, and then they quickly run back down to hear a little noise. Papa groundhog is eating as much as he can. He gets like towards the end of the summer, this really big guy. He's just eating and eating and eating. And mama groundhog is looking after the little one. The little ones are watching daddy what he does. And they go start to eat something. It's not new. You know, so how do we transcendentalize? We can do those things. We have to eat. We have to have a house. Whether it's a bird nest or a groundhog or a whatever it is, you know, with human intelligence, we have, you know, we can take the same ingredient that other species of life have access to and make things. That's, you know, that's the material intelligence feature, and live a quote comfortable life. But that's not the purpose of the higher purpose, the Aryan purpose of life. We may do those things, but those things must be done with a higher purpose. Otherwise, it's entangling. We become bewildered and foolish, like as if we didn't have a clue what the higher purpose is. We have a higher purpose, and then we follow it, dedicate, and commit ourselves regularly to spiritually elevating activity in that atmosphere. That's the teaching that Rupa Goswami gives about the standard of real renunciation. Not give things up, but recognize that it belongs to Krishna according to suitability. We accept and yuktam vairagya, dedicate that to Krishna's service. All the while focusing our attention on the object, Krishna, and let us become simply attached to Krishna. Because this over here is going to change. The sun shining in the mountain is going to become the cloud hanging on the tops of the mountain. It's going to become, you can hardly see the mountain, it's going to become. And then it comes back again. It's all going to change. That's certainly predictable. Ever-changing condition of the configurations of matter. So while here we exercise that detachment, utilizing it in Krishna's service, and know that we're here today, and we're gone tomorrow, or it's gone tomorrow, and then we're gone the next day. We utilize things with the purpose of developing attachment for Krishna. Here he comes.